since we were talking about groceries at this particular time. You would recall just about a few weeks ago, 200 million rand, according to Pick n Pay, in the form of smart shopper points was sitting on the balance sheet of the company. And they actually had to send out a full alert to say, guys, please come collect your points. It starts to make one ask the question about what the value is. I mean, is this fungible legal tender? Jerome Brink is a director in the tax and exchange control practice at Cliff Dicker Hofmeyr and joins us this morning to discuss this landmark case as well as what it might mean. Jerome, welcome to Breakfast with Refilwe. How are you this morning?
Hi, Refilwe. Very good, thanks. Thanks for having me on the show.
I'm grateful for your time. So talk to us about this Clicks case. I'm curious about this. So they filed 58 million odd rand as deferred income. Was this a case that was brought by Clicks or was it brought by SARS?
Yeah, so I think it's a way to really understand how it got to the Constitutional Court. Let's go back a few steps and sort of understand, you know, from one perspective, the general rule of income tax is that it's an annual assessment. That means that you get income in year one and you offset that against expenditure in year one. And then you pay tax on the balance. What happened in this case, and the specific rule, the general exception to that rule, which is the 24 cap C allowance, is that you can claim expenditure that you're only going to incur in year two and three in year one as an allowance, and that's added back year two. So really what it is it's a timing provision. So it doesn't necessarily disallow the deduction ultimately altogether, but all it does is that it assists taxpayers with cash flow. And I think if we go back to the 80s when the section was introduced, it was mainly aimed at construction contracts, that type of scenario where contractors get a large advance payment and they would include that in their income in year one, and then they would be able to offset that against some expenditure that they'd probably only incur in year two and three for building materials and tools and so forth. Mm. And so fundamentally what happened is that Clicks was claiming this 24 cap C allowance in terms of their loyalty rewards programs. And ultimately it made its way to the tax court first, and the tax court ruled in favor of Clicks. It then went to the SCA, Supreme Court of Appeal in Bloemfontein, and they overturned the tax court decision, and then it found its way to the Constitutional Court.
And now where we stand is that the tax treatment of loyalty programs is how?
Yes, so I think what the case really unpacked was... Hello, can you still hear me?
I'm with you, yes.
Sorry.
No problem.
It went a bit dead there.
Sorry.
Yeah, so I think what the case did is that it really built on the previous precedent or judicial precedent on this matter. Mm. And what it said was is that even though Clicks, because basically Clicks' argument went that they were entitled to a Section 24 cap C allowance by virtue of the fact that their income earned in terms of the initial sales contract, so when a customer initially comes into the shops and purchases whatever goods in Clicks, was linked to the obligation on them to fund expenditure to ultimately honour the points or whatever that is on future purchases.
Tax filing. Oh, I'm with you.
Exactly.
Yes, yes, yes.
So as you mentioned earlier with the Pick n Pay example, the initial sales would obviously drive the points, and ultimately those points would then reduce or it would be a discount on future purchases. And so the argument went that the 24 cap C allowance could apply in those circumstances.
And was that upheld?
So the Constitutional Court basically unpacked the two critical requirements or two, let's say, tests that are required for this future expenditure allowance to apply. And the one is the same contract basis and the one is the sameness basis. So the same contract basis, it disallowed on the basis that the sales contract and the sort of loyalty rewards program contract are two separate contracts.
Okay.
And on the sameness basis, they said that even though there's an inextricable link, it goes further than that, and that you need to show that there's a very, very close link. And it really just developed the law in terms of what is required for that test to apply in terms of the sameness test.
So in other words, these expenses are completely unrelated to these incomes, and these incomes need to be taxed.
So the thing that's important to keep in mind is that 24-cap seal, this future expenditure allowance, doesn't necessarily disallow the deduction at all. All it does is, as I mentioned earlier, is really just a timing provision. So it helps businesses with a cash flow perspective. And I think in the case it was mentioned that, that Clicks uses that additional cash flow, so to speak, for their operations and other business endeavors. So obviously it's an incentive, or it helps taxpayers and retailers to sort of implement these loyalty programs to the extent that they can claim 24-cap C. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they can't claim the expenditure ultimately.
Right.
All it does is that it's really just giving a lag in terms of when that expenditure can be claimed or not.
And what does that mean for other retailers and loyalty programs in general?
So I think it's a couple of things. I think for one, there's obviously now this precedent on 24-cap C. So anyone who's claiming that allowance would be well advised to obviously consider the judgment and what it exactly said and how that impacts their arrangements. But from the retail perspective, I think, you know, there have been a lot of, you know, there's a lot of loyalty rewards programs out there. And I think the court actually even mentioned the fact that, and when they were discussing, you know, not all tax cases get to the constitutional court, so you have to apply for special leave. And one of the key reasons why that was granted was because the constitutional court saw that there may be an impact on a wider variety of taxpayers in the retail sort of industry. And they actually mentioned quite a few. So they certainly will have an impact, especially to the extent that these retailers are claiming 24-cap C allowances on their loyalty rewards programs. And there has been some murmurs in the market that there have been some audits in this respect. So it definitely is something where they would have to consider their current arrangements to see what type of impact that may have on their current arrangements, and whether there possibly needs to be a change in let's say, the arrangement. And ultimately, that could sort of make a difference for the consumer in the sense that some loyalty programs may be tweaked to some extent, possibly.
I'm wondering about the second round effect after that. Okay, so yes, the loyalty program might be tweaked, but Jerome, now that we've got sort of a precedent-setting perspective that says, if this is claimable as an expense, then we can almost call it an income. Is there any potential in the future for us to say my e-bucks, my miles, my smart shopper points, my Click Club card points might be counted as income, and could that be taxable for an individual?
Yeah, so I think the case really dealt with the position of the retailer as opposed to the customer. And it really dealt with the timing of when they can claim that expenditure and the assistance with the cash flow. So it didn't really touch on necessarily the position of the customer. And generally, you know, if you have this smart shopper card and you just use it for your personal expenses and you accumulate it as and when, and you're not sort of going after, you know, you don't have cards with every division and you're not trying to accumulate points in every single retailer in Africa,
right,
you're probably okay in the sense that you're only using it for your personal expenses, et cetera. So it doesn't – but again, you know, the court didn't really pass judgment on that. So it's, there's no absolute certainty there, but one should really focus on the fact that here we were really dealing with the position of the retailer as opposed to the customer, even though there may be an impact in terms of how these arrangements are structured.
Understood. Jerome Brink, thank you so much. Director of the Tax and Exchange Control Practice at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr. It's 20 minutes past 8 and Zane has your traffic.